This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, we'll have a conversation with comedian Paula Poundstone, who will be in Cincinnati later this week. Meantime, Oktoberfest Cincinnati takes place this weekend, starting off at noon Friday with the Running of the Wieners. It's the largest Oktoberfest in America, with a weekend devoted to a celebration of our German heritage, the music, the food, the beer, and, of course, the world's largest chicken dance, led by this year's Grand Marshal, former Bengals quarterback Ken Anderson. Joining us for a preview of this weekend's events are Sergeant Greg Luton with the Cincinnati Police Department Special Events Unit, Dr. Don Heinrich Toltzman, author and editor of several books on German-American history and culture, and Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber Vice President of Programs and Downtown Council, Patrick Sheeran, who leads the production of Oktoberfest Cincinnati. And Sergeant Luton, Pat, and Don, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
You can join our conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Pat, it's really hard to believe that it's been 40 years since Cincinnati held its first Oktoberfest. That's just got to be really exciting for you.
Well, it is. I mean, I don't think anybody had any idea in 1976 when they threw a little block party at Government Square. I think about 1,000 people came to it, that it would grow into what it has become, truly America's Oktoberfest.
Block party with 1,000 people. And today, how big is it?
We're estimating about 650,000 people will turn out for the event.
And how many blocks does this cover now?
We now cover part of 14 city blocks.
14. That's amazing. Now, the kickoff event is going to be the Running of the Wieners. And for someone who's never witnessed this before, describe this event to me.
So we have 100 dachshunds that are registered for the event. We do 10 heats of 10, and the winner of each heat then runs in the 11th race for the runoff and to be the king or queen.
The top dog?
The top dog at the Oktoberfest.
Now, and this is also in conjunction with the Gemütlichkeit Games that start on Friday as well, right?
That is correct. And that's where you have more traditional German games taking place. We'll have, you know, Stein races, and you'll have beer barrel rolling. And it's just a great time.
Now, how much national recognition does Oktoberfest Cincinnati get?
Oh, it's not only national, it's international, mm-hmm. You know. The other day, I had a conversation with the History Channel. They were doing a feature on us relative to the original Oktoberfest in Munich and kind of the historical roots of the event. We're currently up for the best Oktoberfest in the nation by USA Today. So we're going to encourage everyone who comes down to Oktoberfest, or if you can go to our website now and vote for us. I think we're currently in third or fourth place, which is inexcusable. We need to be
We should be number one. You're right about that. So what's the website that that people can go to?
Sure. It's www.oktoberfestcincinnati.com. That's with a Z.
Okay, let's get those votes in and let's get this event to number one. It should be. You're right, Pat. Don, you know, Munich has the largest Oktoberfest, and other cities around the world hold them as well. Where did the Oktoberfest tradition originate from in the first place?
Well, it actually goes back to a wedding party in 1810. The Crown Prince of Bavaria, Ludwig, got married on the 12th of October of that year. And a huge wedding party was held that year, and his bride was Teresa von Sachsen-Hildburghausen. And so they celebrated a party on a meadow that he gave to his bride. It's called Teresa's Meadow or Theresian Wiese. And the party was so popular that every year thereafter, the anniversary was held and celebrated there, and it developed gradually into a festival, and all kinds of festivities were added, food and beer booths. By the end of the 19th century, there were huge beer tents and beer halls that were added to the grounds, and it developed to be the largest festival in Germany and probably one of the largest in the world, attracting now, I think, about 6.5 million people annually.
And it's over, what, a course of, it's a two-week event and covers a large span of territory, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And many people ask, why is it called Oktoberfest? Well, originally...
You read my mind. I was going to ask you, if it's held in September, and why is it Oktoberfest?
Well, as I mentioned, the wedding took place on the 12th of October in 1810, but due to inclement weather in Munich, there was rain at various times, there was snow, so they kept moving the festival back. So it now begins on the 19th of September and goes to the 4th of October. So this is the reason why we hold it on the weekend that we do, because it has been moved back, and it's simply because of the weather in Munich, but it's still called the Oktoberfest.
Patrick, tell me about the work that goes into preparing for an Oktoberfest Cincinnati.
Well, you know, I have an exceptionally talented staff, and most of us have worked together since about 2001, so we've got a lot of experience on staff. Cynthia Oxley, Lori Salzarulo, and Rachel Heitkamp have been there, you know, every step of the way. But in truth, not only do we have excellent experience within the staff itself, the city services, and Greg can speak more to this, you know, Greg has just unbelievable experience, and so does the rest of his team relative to the safety aspects of it. The traffic and engineering folks have been working, you know, hand to glove with us for a number of years to get the traffic patterns down. Our food vendors are exceptionally experienced as it relates to setup and the delivery of product to the people, because as this event has grown, you know, they've been able to adapt and grow with it, and truly it's a team effort. We couldn't do it without many hands making for light work.
Now, how many people are involved in this?
Well, you know, from a staff perspective, it's relatively few. We do have not-for-profit groups that we pay, and they get donations that run all of our alcohol as well as non-alcoholic booths. A number of the restaurants also have not-for-profits that work with them relative to the production and the serving of the food. So if you were to count all those folks up, it's probably in excess of a couple thousand people that come together to make this happen over the 3 days. But from a paid staff perspective, it's really just a handful.
Sergeant Luton, how much preparation does the police department do to get ready for Oktoberfest Cincinnati? What's it like?
I mean, it'll start in January whenever we get the permit in. And Pat's staff is exceptional, and they know just what I need, and makes it go through really quickly. And so when it comes down to the logistics and things, those always change, it seems like. There's always something new they're throwing at us. So we just take a look at it, and if it's a couple of months out, probably that's when we get the most go on any event. It's a couple of months out.
Is it to the point, though, where you've done so many of these that this is pretty routine anymore?
Yeah, I started the same year that Lori started doing them, and that was in 2002. And so I've been with it ever since. It's been my event. I seem to get all Pat's parties. I don't know. Pat keeps me busy, and Lori. I hear from her on the phone more than I hear from my mom. So,
what do people need to know about the traffic and the street closures and the parking for the event?
Yeah, the traffic gets to be a bit of a bear. We close down 5th Street, but then we close up to the half block between 4th and 6th. Now, every parking garage is open. The parking lots are still accessible. There's only a couple that are taken by the event itself, but there's a lot of parking available. I guess the key is that people need to understand you don't have to go directly to the event to park. There's lots of parking in peripheral areas. There's parking down on the riverfront other than for Sunday, but for Friday and Saturday, there'll be lots of parking there, and it's a nice walk. It's good weather to walk in, and it's easier to get in and get out. We have lots of police out there doing traffic control, but it still gets jammed up, and we don't close the street until after rush hour. In this case, though, on Friday, we shut it down at 9 a.m. So we get most of the rush hour in, the businesses, things like that. And then at 9 a.m., we shut it down up to Broadway. And then there's another section from Broadway to the other side of P&G that gets closed down at 6 p.m. So 5th Street closing is a main drag through town, and once you close it, it just creates chaos. But we think we got it controlled pretty well.
Well, there are so many other things going on this week. I mean, you got the Bengals game on Sunday. How much coordination do you have to do with different groups to make all this work?
Yeah, we that's what we do in special events. So we pull everybody together, and so when Pat needs traffic engineering or if he needs assistance with any kind of barricades, things like that, we just throw all that together for them, and then they, you know, stage it out there and get it done for us.
You know, one of the great things about the fact that the event takes place on 5th Street in the heart of town, and there aren't many cities that could coordinate things to to shut down the heart of the city. But the benefit of having the event there is that there are tens of thousands of parking spaces that are available to us over the weekend that are normally utilized by the workers during the week. And you can still hold a major event like a Bengals game or last year when the Bearcats were playing Miami University, where you can have 40 to 60,000 people down on the riverfront, and you can still run a massive event within the center city part of our downtown. In fact, some years, Greg, we've had both the Reds and the Bengals playing while the Oktoberfest is going on. It really does make us look like a major league city.
Yeah, we had the Red Hot weekend was probably the most challenging, where we had a football game, had a major concert at US Bank Arena. We had the last games of Riverfront. And then Pat throws his party in the middle of all this.
You know, we figured people needed something else to do.
Greg, does Oktoberfest present more of a challenge by its very nature? You've got all these people downtown. You've got lots of beer flowing. Or for the most part, are people pretty well behaved at this event?
Very well behaved. I mean, I'm surprised. And I just got asked that question the other day by someone and said, isn't there a lot of trouble and things like that? There's really not. It's everybody's pretty behaved. They seem to police themselves. So they come down with a friend. If they're going to drink too much of the good beer, then it seems like somebody's carrying them out. So we don't see increased driving problems. We don't see anything like that.
Mark, I might want to mention how Oktoberfest got to be celebrated here. It goes back to the 1970s, and the German-American Citizens League, which is the umbrella organization for the German societies in this area, suggested, I think it was in 1972, they suggested there'd be a citywide Oktoberfest, and the idea was to celebrate the German heritage of the city, celebrate the brewing heritage, and bring the city together in a festival in the inner city, in downtown. And the idea was really positively received. It was widely discussed in the 1970s, and the German-American Citizens League then talked to the various breweries in town. And if you might recall then, there were three of them, Hudepohl, Schaneling, and Berger. Well, they all got on board with the idea. They were very excited about it. The Citizens League then contacted the Chamber of Commerce, and they, of course, were very interested in that. So it took several years of discussion and planning to get this off the ground. And then in 1975, 76, plans were underway to celebrate the bicentennial, the 200th anniversary of the United States, and this seemed like the appropriate and best time to begin the event. So it did take a couple of years to get going, but it was a confluence of these different factors, and the German-American Citizens League continues to be involved with the event. We do have a grand program and parade on Saturday. We have participants from over 30 German societies involved, and they bring a lot of authenticity to the event, where German tracht, German folk attire, traditional German dancing and music. We also have a band coming from Bavaria. It comes from Langenwang, which is a small Bavarian town in the Allgäu, southern Bavaria, at the foot of the Alps. So it's an event that really celebrates the German heritage, but has a lot of...
Sounds like there's a lot of authenticity, yes.
A lot of authenticity. And as I mentioned, you know, when this... when it began, there were three breweries here in town, and now I think we have over a dozen.
We'll continue our conversation about Oktoberfest, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Here to tell us about Oktoberfest Cincinnati, Sergeant Greg Luton with the Cincinnati Police Department Special Events Unit, Dr. Don Heinrich Toltzman, author and editor of several books on German-American history and culture, and Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber Vice President of Programs and Downtown Council Patrick Sheeran. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Don, you know, it makes sense that with all the German heritage that we have here in Cincinnati, that our Oktoberfest would be such a large celebration. But there are lots of other cities with German heritage. How did Cincinnati's get to be the second biggest Oktoberfest in the world?
Well, there are many cities that do have Oktoberfest celebrations. As a matter of fact, I think there are worldwide, there are about 3,000 Oktoberfest celebrations. However, Cincinnati is pretty unique because it was one of the centers of German immigration and settlement since the 19th century, and there actually are only two other cities that have as much German heritage as we do in the U.S., and that's Milwaukee and St. Louis. So we're pretty unique. So it really is not that surprising that we're a center of German festivities, celebrations, and, of course, the strong brewing heritage. And all of that is reflected in the fact that we have the biggest and best Oktoberfest outside of Munich, which is our sister city, and we do have a special guest coming from the City Council of Munich will be here as part of the Oktoberfest. So, and every year we do have somebody from the City of Munich. And so Munich is very proud of their connection with us and with our Oktoberfest.
Pat, Munich goes on for 2 weeks. Have we ever thought about making Cincinnati's longer?
Please don't. Oh,
I was going to say it. I think I've got enough gray hair as it is.
The police department has spoken.
Yeah. No, I think 3 days is a great time for us. It's a way that everybody can experience it fully and get back to all the other great things that the city has to offer. So we're really proud that the city's been able to work with us to open up on Friday evening. You know, it's kind of like the circus coming to town. You know, at 8 a.m. Friday morning, you'd never guess that there's going to be a huge Oktoberfest in the center of our city. But by 5 p.m., we are up and ready to go. And then Monday morning at 6 a.m., it looks like we were never there. That's truly the miracle of the event.
Now, what are the exact hours for the event?
Sure. We open at 5 p.m. Fully on Friday evening, and we go till midnight. We open on Saturday at 11 a.m. and again go till midnight. And then on Sunday, it's 11 a.m. To 10 p.m. But as you mentioned earlier, we have the running of the wiener dog races at noon on Fountain Square on Friday, and then that's followed by the Gemütlichkeit game. So you can get a taste of Oktoberfest beginning at noon on Friday.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and let's talk with Richard in Clifton. Hi, Richard.
Hi. In the spirit of the Oktoberfest, here you go. Cincinnati in September celebrates Oktoberfest. May be strange, but please remember, Cincinnati does it best. Brats and Mets are so authentic, chickens dance in record style. Cincinnati's just like Munich once a year for just a while. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Richard. We appreciate that, and we weren't expecting it either.
No, it's not often you get serenaded like that.
No.
Mark, I might mention, too, that the Oktoberfest is presented and sponsored by Sam Adams, and that the founder of that brewery, Jim Koch, comes from Cincinnati, and a lot of his brews do have recipes that are based on Cincinnati German brews that came out of this area. So it's always nice to see Jim Koch because he feels really at home here. And as you know, we do have his brewery is located on Central Parkway. And I've kind of joked.
Not far from where we're sitting, as a matter of fact.
Right. And, yeah. And that brewery is expanding. And I've joked with him because I've heard that 60% of Sam Adams beer comes out of Cincinnati. So I've asked him, well, why don't we change the name of that brewery to it's from the Boston Beer Company to the Cincinnati Beer Company.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's the first graduate of Indian Hill High School to graduate from Harvard. And, you know, when he comes back, and he comes back every year for the opening ceremonies on Fountain Square, and he said, you know, as a high school kid at Indian Hill, you know, you always wanted to be the one that threw the big party. He goes, I'm proud to say I throw the biggest party now back in the city of Cincinnati with Oktoberfest.
Any idea how much beer gets consumed at this event, Pat?
Yeah, it's a huge number. More than 2,000 barrels of beer were expected to be consumed at the event. That's more than 4 million ounces of beer. And so it's just a phenomenal number.
I'm losing my sobriety just thinking about it.
That's right. And the fact that everybody's so well-behaved, I think, really speaks to the fact that, you know, this is such a positive event because it's reinforcing our traditions and our culture. And I always say it's really the city at its finest hour because you have many reasons to not be in a good mood, but yet everyone still is, as they're shoulder to shoulder and bratwurst to bratwurst down there.
Greg, does it surprise you with all the beer that flows that this comes off as well as it does?
It does. But, you know, I think society as a whole is good, and that's what we depend on. And there's only the one percenters that make it bad for everybody else. So they tend to overdrink and get a little silly. But like I said, we have a great record with Oktoberfest, and you just don't see any kind of widespread problem. We have some kids who come down and stir up Fountain Square sometimes, but we're using lots of different techniques to try and make it a little easier, less impact on
you. You don't anticipate that's going to be a problem then?
No. You know, we've got lots of police, like I said, and we've got plans in place, so we hope to take care of all that.
Pat, how many beer vendors, how many different types of beers are going to be at Oktoberfest?
Well, we're
going
to serve 108 varieties of beer down there. Obviously, Sam Adams Oktoberfest will lead the way.
Yeah, you brought a six pack in today to and we're not drinking it, so don't worry about that part. But you brought some in to show us. So.
And you know, we've got 8 beer gardens and fest tents. The Blue Point Fest tent, which is a new one for us. The Weisstefan Beer Garden is a new one for us this year. The Yingling Fest Tent is back. The Sam Adams Beer Garden is back. The Kentucky Ale Fest Tent is back. The Erdinger Fest Tent is back. And then the Christian Moorline Glockenspiel and Beer Garden. Our Glockenspiel, you know, you'll go to some other Oktoberfests around the country, and they have a little wooden clock, and they have some live dancers come out and perform. And it's nice. And I said, you know, why should we be like everybody else? Let's do something that's truly unique in Cincinnati. And so we actually have a huge LED board and a fully integrated sound system. So it looks like a clock the majority of the time. And then when our dancers come out, and these are former dancers from the UC dance team, they do choreographed dances to various songs, and they change costumes on the hour. So every hour on the hour, they perform. And it truly is unlike anything you'll see at any other Oktoberfest across the country. And then new for this year, because it is our 40th year, we have created what's known as Brewer's Alley, which will open on Saturday on North Broadway, in which we will have 40 beers in honor of that 40th year sold at the event, and it represents some of the finest craft beer that you can find in Cincinnati as well as across the country. So we're really excited by that.
And the number of beers is up this year, isn't it? It's over 100, isn't it?
Yeah, 108.
108.
Correct.
And in past years, it's been, what, around 60-something?
Yeah, 60. So we kind of really kind of amped it up this year in that regard.
What about the food offerings? What kind of food can you get at this?
Well, it's traditional German fare.
Okay.
And that's what that's again where we could look at trying to be as authentic as we can. You'll have Metz, you'll have bratwurst, you'll have sauerkraut balls. I remember I was talking to the Martha Stewart show relative to that. That was a term that they were not aware of.
You know,
simply put, you can deep fry darn near anything.
Yeah, and it's good.
And it is good. You know, we've got potato pancakes and soft pretzels and on down the line.
For someone who's not been there before, Pat, or maybe been there for a few years, is it all polka music all the time, or are there various different types of music?
No, there's you will hear some classic music being performed, German music. You will hear some rock bands. Now, some of them will be in Lederhosen, and some of them will have rock versions that are more to a polka beat. But, you know, we try to say that we're the American Oktoberfest, so it's not exactly like you would see in Munich because, one, our grounds are different. The clientele is different. But, you know, if you go to the Munich Oktoberfest, you're going to hear Frank Sinatra. You're going to hear John Denver. It's just a big party. But by and large, 90% of what you hear down there is German polka music.
Speaking of dancing, how many people danced to the chicken dance last year? Do you know by chance?
Well, you know, when we set the record, I think it was 48,000 people. the number seems about as big as that every year. You know, people really do embrace it. It's a time to be kind of silly. And we've had some great grand marshals, everyone from the Prince of Bavaria, who Don, I know
he was 1994, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. And Joe Morgan, who's in the Hall of Fame, Joe Nuxall, who's a Hall of Famer to everyone in Cincinnati, George Takei, Weird Al Yankovic, you name it, and they have
been. Ojo Cinco.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
Pat, I might mention, too, Davy Jones from the Monkees was here one year.
And excellent.
He was just a wonderful guy to be with. He was just first class. We've had many outstanding grand marshals.
Well, how did you pick Ken Anderson?
We try to.
He's a great choice.
Yeah, we just try to identify, you know, either people that are connected to the city or will be near the city and say, who deserves this recognition? And Ken Anderson is near the top. I mean, one of the top performers the Bengals have ever had. You know, unfortunately, the Bengals have not yet retired numbers at the stadium or created their own Hall of Fame. But I'd have to think Ken Anderson would be in that inaugural class when they do, because he's not only a great former athlete, but he was really a great ambassador for our city and a really, really wonderful person.
Yeah, he's a good choice for this. I was thrilled to see him as the Grand Marshal. Sergeant, you know, with all these people coming down, everybody, you know, having such a festive time, what's your advice for having a safe and enjoyable visit to Oktoberfest?
Not walk alone. Don't go through dark areas walking alone. It just presents itself to people who want to do some kind of criminal activity. Like I said, we've got lots of eyes out. We've got cameras everywhere downtown. Those will be monitored. We've got lots of police. But, you know, go with somebody and make sure you're not walking in dark areas alone. Get there early so you can enjoy it and you don't have to sit in traffic so long. There are times during Oktoberfest that it's easier to get into than not, but you kind of feel it out. Don't try to get on Fifth Street and come to it. Go some of the peripheral streets and get to it. Remember that Saturday morning we have the 14K running, and it starts down by Christian Moorline on Main Street, and it goes out west and stays up there. And then the other thing would be the Bengals game on Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock game, 60,000+ people coming down. So that creates a traffic nightmare of its own.
So plan ahead.
Plan ahead.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Sergeant Greg Luton with the Cincinnati Police Department Special Events Unit, Dr. Don Heinrich Toltzman, author and editor of several books on German-American history and culture, and Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber Vice President of Programs and Downtown Council, Patrick Sheeran, who leads the production of Oktoberfest Cincinnati. Coming up, we'll hear from Paula Poundstone about her career in comedy. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.